Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's fall membership drive week. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Thank you for joining the conversation. You may also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPM Live or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Conversations coming up this hour. Darren Snyder is here for another edition of Garden Talk with a perfect topic for today. Too much of a good thing, helping our gardens deal with all the rain. Fall is here, which means Mudrooms is back. We have a preview with Taylor Beard about upcoming workshops and storytelling nights that are coming your way. The fall theater season is picking up as well, and this weekend, Juno Ghostlight Theater is back with its popular mixed cast performance. And today, we begin with the KTOO news team. It's fall membership drive here this week at KTOO. It's community-supported public media, now more than ever, after the federal government defunded public media. Our community has been stepping up with fantastic support, and one of the services that you support with your donation is the KTOO News Team. It's local news, local reporting, local stories that you've come to count on. And this week, they have a couple of events to share about. But first, let's run the premiere of a new video and audio story from reporter Clarice Larson, who worked with KTOO's Will Mader from the KTOO video team on the ballot measures that are happening this fall.
Juno's 2025 municipal election is just around the corner. Candidates for Juno Assembly and School Board are on the ballot this year, alongside three questions.
Two aim to reduce the tax burden on individual residents, but it will come at a cost to the city's coffers. The third attempts to boost city tax revenue by increasing the sales tax rate when cruise tourists are in town, then lowering it again in the off-season.
I actually think this is probably the most consequential election we've had locally in the 15 years I've been here.
Christine Wall is a longtime Juno Assembly member and chairs its finance committee.
Each of these will have a big impact on the city's budget and ability to fund services in our community.
An advocacy group called the Affordable Juno Coalition gathered enough signatures this spring and summer to place Proposition 1 and 2 on the ballot. Angela Rodell is the treasurer of the group and formerly ran the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. She says the propositions are designed to make Alaska's capital city more affordable.
We have a very high cost of living, and that impacts almost everybody except obviously the wealthy.
Proposition 1 seeks to cap the local property tax rate, also known as a mill rate. One mill is equal to $1 per $1,000 in property value. Right now, the city caps the mill rate at 12 mills. But if voters pass Proposition 1 this election, that cap would be lowered to 9 mills. Now, that change could lower property taxes for property owners, but it also means the city would take in less revenue each year. The change wouldn't be immediately devastating to the city's roughly $140 million in annual discretionary revenue. But Wall says over time, it could substantially influence the city's ability to fund the services residents usually expect.
It results in about a $2 million loss to city revenue every year, which is significant. But when I think long term, it's maybe less about the money and more about the city's ability to respond to changing environments.
Rodell argues the change will force the assembly to focus its spending on needs versus wants.
I think we can figure out how to tighten that belt a little bit. And I think it's really imperative that the city show its residents that they care about affordability and want to really focus on the things that make this community very livable.
So that's Proposition 1. Proposition 2 would also shrink the amount of revenue the city brings in each year. The proposition seeks to exempt essential food and residential utilities from local sales tax. Right now, the city taxes food and utilities like just about everything else at 5%. But if the initiative passes, it would drop down to 0% for everyone, regardless of their income. Economists say that taxes on food hit low-income people the hardest. Juneau Assemblymember Neil Steininger is an economist, and he supports the concept.
We don't have the supply chains that can provide us, you know, lower cost food like a lot of areas down south do. And then, you know, that really impacts, you know, your day-to-day living because, you know, you got to eat every day.
But he warns that the current 5% tax on food and utilities brings in a combined $10 to $12 million in revenue to the city annually. He says removing that tax would leave a serious hole in the city's budget.
That's more than just a little belt tightening. You know, that's more than just, you know, buying less paper clips and buying less post-it notes. That's really looking at the overall spectrum of services we provide and choosing some to not provide.
That's why the Assembly put Proposition 3 on the ballot, which asks voters whether to implement a new seasonal sales tax system next year. This proposition would raise sales taxes in the summer months and then lower them in the winter. It's aimed at taking advantage of the 1.7 million summer cruise ship tourism visitors that come to town each year. Other nearby southeast towns like Ketchikan, Sitka, and Skagway have similar seasonal sales tax structures already in place. Juneau currently charges 5% in local sales taxes. If voters pass Proposition 3, shoppers would instead pay a 7.5% tax from April through September and a 3% tax from October through March. But Rodell says she'll be voting no on the measure, and the Affordable Juneau Coalition is advocating against it because she says it won't actually save money for year-round residents and businesses.
It needs to go back to the drawing board. They need to do a better job about defining how it's going to help the residents of this community.
The last day to vote in Juneau's by-mail election is October 7th. For KTOO News in Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And that was a piece on the ballot measures coming this fall from reporter Clarice Larson. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. Clarice joins me now in the studio. Gunnath Cheesh, welcome. Wasiti, how you doing, Clarice?
Hi, Boston. I'm good. It's raining out, but...
It's very rainy. I know you posted a story just a little bit ago, which had to change because while you were working on the story, the power went out.
Yes, I was literally writing, you know, power... Or I was writing... Their warning of power may go out, and then the power went out, and I changed the sentence, and I go, the power has gone out.
The power has gone out. Yeah, so thanks for joining us. That's a cool video / audio piece. It'll play on both the radio. It'll also be posted on our website and our YouTube page shortly. That was the premiere. It'll go up today sometime. That was a really fun collaboration with the video team that you did there, because when you watch the video, not only when you're talking about the numbers, you can see graphs and stuff, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it was super fun. Will is the best.
Yeah, Will's great. He's on our video team, and that's excellent. So as I mentioned in the intro, you're going to be having a couple events this week. It's also Fall Membership Week, which is your donation is supporting, you know, the news team and everything else we do here at KTO. But in addition to it being Membership Week, you also have some events coming up, beginning with tomorrow. Tell me about what's happening in the morning.
Yeah, tomorrow at 8 a.m. we're going to have coffee with K2. We've done this a few times now. It's basically you can come to KTOO at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, and we'll have coffee and some donuts. But
you're going to have donuts?
You have to come early because we don't know how many people are coming, so it's like either we get too many or too little. But if we get too many, I will eat them throughout the workday.
Right. So just... come and save Clarice from eating so many donuts.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole news staff will be there, our editors will be there, and we'll have some students from Juneau Douglas High School, Yada Akathle, I believe, coming.
Okay, cool.
And so, yeah, we're going to talk about the local election. We're going to have some candidates coming, too. Not all of them. Some of them can't make it. I tried my hardest to get them all. But yeah, we're going to have a lot of come, and yeah, it's going to be super fun.
But the students will get to engage a little bit with the people who are running and things like that.
Yeah, and we're hoping to just talk to them about civic engagement and right. why it's so important to, you know, make sure you're vetting your news, make sure you know what's going on in your community, because I think being informed is the best way to make change.
Absolutely. That's really cool. So that's happening at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Hopefully the weather is better than it is right now.
Yes.
You can make your way down here to K2O. It's going to be downstairs in the big space, in the big studio downstairs. And we welcome you in. It's probably like the fourth or fifth one of these that y'all have done. And they're really great because they're so engaging. And it really gives everybody an opportunity to give feedback right there and say, hey, these stories are great. I mean, obviously, y'all did such a fantastic job with the GLOF coverage, with the flooding this summer, and, you know, the election's coming up. There's going to be a lot that's going on there as well. And so it's just a great way for the community to come and engage with the news team, see you face-to-face because they hear you all the time, but be able to see you and talk to you and find out what else you're working on, which is kind of great. And then the speaking of elections, the next day on Friday night, there's going to be the fall forums, which are a little bit different this year. Tell us about the fall forums and what's a little different this year.
Yes. Each year we work with the, you know, a couple of local news outlets and then the League of Women's Voters to host the Municipal Candidate Forum. So we have all of the candidates for school board and assembly come in, and there's a few written questions that they have, you know, a minute to answer. Mm. And it's in front of a live audience, you know. What's different this year is that usually, like, in the past couple of years, I've hosted it with another reporter from, like, the Juneau Empire. But this year, the League of Women Voters is going to take that on, which is really awesome.
And, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really fun to work with them. And, yeah, they're going to answer a lot of questions about some, you know, hard-hitting topics that are really prominent in this community right
there's
now.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, tell me about it, gee whiz.
There's a lot going on, and the community has a lot to say, and so this election seems, as somebody mentioned in the piece, this election is pretty important this fall in our town, in our local politics and our local elections, so you got to make sure to get out and vote, but you got to be informed, right? So one way is the forum. But then another way is the fantastic KTOO election guide. You've had over the last number of weeks, I've seen it, the candidates are coming in and jumping into the studio with y'all, and they're recording answers. And then you're taking all that information and you're creating a guide, right?
Yeah. Our education reporter, Jamie Deep, and I, we've been working together on interviewing the candidates ourselves in the studio. So we, as reporters, wrote out questions that we thought we want them to answer and then chatted with them. They had, you know, similarly a minute to answer. If they fumbled, they fumbled. We tried to, you know, have them say stuff as clearly as possible. But yeah, that's going to drop tomorrow, and I'm super excited. Yeah, we have 8 candidates in total this year, 4 on each body.
On each for the assembly and then for the school board. And that'll drop tomorrow morning, and you can see that at kto.org/elections, which is another great sort of area that you can follow all the stories that you've been posting about the election, anything follow-up that will be coming on the election. Probably this video on the ballot measures will be up on there as well. And then the election guide. It's not that far off. We're coming up on the election pretty soon.
No, yeah, the ballots are going to be mailed to voters on Friday.
Wow.
So it's like game time. Like, this is the best time of the year for me. I get to write so much fun stuff. Like, it's the best time of the year.
And then also, I just wanted to mention, too, that we talked about today's wind and the power outage, and you wrote a story up on that. You can go check that out at kto.org, and you're going to be following up with that, I guess. I guess I just saw a text from AELP. All the things are back online. The last one was out at Lena Point. I guess it's up and going, so we'll see if it holds. And we'll pray that it holds, so that's good. And then just another shout-out to the news team. For if you didn't catch it, the Outburst podcast that another reporter that works here, Alex Solomon, worked on, and it's a great four episode podcast all about the history of the Outburst floods as well as what the future looks like. So if you haven't caught that, we played a few episodes on Juneau Afternoon, but if you haven't caught that, you can go to kto.org/outburst or subscribe to Outburst in your favorite podcast app of choice. So that's awesome. The news team's doing great work. This wasn't really a scheduled membership pitch, but it is membership week as well. And I just want to say that all of the stuff that you do is supported by our members. And so even, you know, getting the chance for them to come and talk to you in the morning is so fantastic. So it's the KTOO Coffee with KTO tomorrow at 8 a.m. right here downstairs. And then the League of Women Voters Candidate Forum on Friday night. You can catch everything else that the news team is working on at kto.org. Do you have any other fun stories that you want to tease?
I mean, I am working on kind of tax stories, which are important. They're not, you know, super sexy, if you will, tax stories. But we are just talking. Our reporter Yvonne Crumry is writing about labubus, and I was cracking up indigenized labubus. So look for that story. It's going to be super awesome.
Really cool. Yeah, labubus are all the rage.
It is all the rage, and I was just having a joy looking at the photos.
That's hilarious. Well, thank you, Clarice, for coming in. I really appreciate it. Ganachish.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
This is Bird Note. Northern mockingbirds, the continent's most proficient copycats, can learn to mimic the sounds of just about any other bird within earshot. But they mimic to show off, not to deceive. Males with the greatest repertoire are the first to attract mates. That's the payoff. If a mockingbird imitates a cardinal song, it's unlikely any cardinals are fooled in the process. No harm, no foul, no deceit intended. But a tiny songbird in South America called the thick-billed euphonia does employ what scientists call deceitful mimicry, a very rare trait among birds. When frightened by a predator near its nest, a thick-billed euphonia imitates the alarm calls of other birds nesting nearby. This stirs them into action, and they rush in to harass the predator, maybe chasing it off while leaving their own nests in peril. The euphonia, meanwhile, sits tight, maybe shouting out a few more bogus alarms while others do the dirty work. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
I'm Kurt Fredrickson.
I'm Mary Soroki.
We've been listening and enjoying since K2's inception in 1974.
I think KTOO is the voice of Juno that was best exemplified by the coverage of the flood. That was outstanding.
Incredible. People were just kept informed as to what was going on with the flood potential and then actually during the flood.
We took family members up to the zip line that day, and it was on up at the zip line. And I thought that was just a representation of KTOO providing real-time news.
At a time when Congress has eliminated all funding for public broadcasting, it's time to take it beyond membership and actually make some donations much greater than we normally would.
We have increased our donations substantially. There's nothing we would want to see gone or reduced. It would be sad for us. It would be sad for Juno. We're asking all of you to do what we've done, which is increase your donations this year.
I don't think there's a more important time than now. Please consider making your donations to ktto.org.
How about ktoo.org is where you need to go for your donations. Thanks.
Thank you.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno and 91.7 Juno Auk Bay and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Juno Ghostlight Theater will soon open its fall production of Dracula, but before they do, they are once again doing a production of their popular Mixed Cast this Saturday, September 20th at the Crystal Saloon. What is Mixed Cast? Who is involved? What can you expect? Well, to answer that, I've got a few members of the Juno Ghostlight team. I have Wendy Burns. Gonna cheese, Wendy.
Gunashchis, Boston.
Thank you so much. I have Hedy Laverne. Hi, Hedy. Welcome
Hello.
Back. Good
Thank you for having me.
And then we also have performer Stephen Ahrens, who will be in the show. Wasiati, how are you today, Stephen?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm excellent, except for the power went out, which was kind of wild. My computer rebooted and everything went haywire, and right when I was working on today's show. But anyway, we're here and we're on the air, which is great.
Yeah.
So let's start with the most important question that we have to sort of establish is, what is Mixed Cast?
Mixed Cast is a cabaret where local singers get to perform songs playing roles that they normally would never be cast to play. It's an opportunity for someone to do their dream role. It could be because of age, it could be because of race, it could be because of just their experience, and really it's allowing people to do stuff that they just wouldn't get the opportunity otherwise. So
is it just songs? Is it just from musicals?
Musicals this time, yes. We've done cabarets in the past where it's a variety of music, but for this specific one, it is musicals and highlighting those roles, giving them the opportunity to act it a little bit.
I see. I was just thinking if there was like monologues or something.
There is a song or two that has some exciting dialogue.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
Okay.
A couple of numbers.
Exciting dialogue. That's a good
tease,
Wendy.
We love exciting dialogue.
We definitely encourage the acting and the costumes and all that.
Because I remember, I think I probably mentioned this before, but I remember when I was in college and I really loved the show Amadeus.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be really fun to play Mozart.
Yeah.
Right? And somebody's like, you can't play Mozart. You're too tall. He was short. And I was like, that's no fun.
Yeah.
You know, what if somebody can think outside the box and like have a little bit of fun, which is what this show is kind of all about, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And they've been very popular.
Yeah, this is our sixth one of Mixed Cast, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I did the math this year.
A fan favorite, also a performer favorite. And I like that. You know, you can pick any song you want. You can put it in whatever key you want.
Mm.
And so I know for me, I kind of like that it lets me put a sort of creative spin on characters that I wouldn't play ordinarily. So it's not just playing that character as that character all the time. It's kind of whatever you want to bring to the table and however you as the artist want to creatively interpret that role. And
that's
that
a really cool creative process, because then it gives you even more avenues to explore, which is kind of cool. So let's talk about what some of the selections of songs this time around will be, Wendy.
Gotta post it.
All right, I have a post-it because
yes.
there are just so many. I
yeah.
would venture to say that this is our most eclectic selection of music yet.
Okay.
We have songs from, it's gonna be a mouthful, Little Shop of Horrors, Lady and the Tramp, Six, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods, Rent, The Music Man, My Fair Lady, Fiddler on the Roof, Grease, In the Heights, Crazy Like Me, Hunchback of Notre Dame, and Sweet Charity. I think that is all the shows.
And I pitched Sweet Charity.
That's a lot of shows. I have the flyer up for those who are watching the video stream. It's a wonderful picture of a performer, but it looks like they have the Little Shop of Horrors monster head on, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Richard Carter did that design for us, and we asked him to take the costume from Anne Boleyn in Six on Broadway, the musical Six, and have Audrey 2's head on it. So it was kind of like if she played that role.
Mixed Cast,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's kind of cool. I love that. And, of course, there's two shows on Saturday. We should mention that.
Yes.
There's two shows. There's one at 7 and then one at 10. Are they the same show or do they – okay, the same show at each of those times, but it gives people that opportunity – to adjust their timing, as it were, which is really kind of cool. So let's talk about performers. We'll talk to Stephen in just a second, but maybe you can tell me who is performing this go-round. Hedy?
Oh, you want me to do? You go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wendy's
I have
got
a second poster.
You have a second poster.
Don't you worry.
Notes aplenty.
We have our MC is going to be Alex Frabeck, who I am so excited for us to work with. We
cool.
have Aria Moore joining us, Joshua Midget, Stacey Katas, Annie Goodenough, Skiba Wadi, Noah Carlson, Kelsey Riker, Dane Moorhead, Stephen Ahrens, and I also am going to hop on and sing a little bit, because how could you not?
How could you not? Hetty, have you ever done it?
No, I have not.
Have they asked you to do it?
Rightfully, they have not. No, I have a little bit of a dream to do it, but I am a little scared, and someday I'll get there. I'm working on it.
I totally understand that, because I would not want to sing either.
Yeah.
So I get that. That's
Boston,
why I was asking
the
about.
Open.
That's why I was asking about monologues.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of fun. So Stephen, let's talk to you a little bit. How do you go about figuring out what song you might want to do? How do you explore that?
Oh, that's not super hard, because I dream about roles all the time of what I would like to sing and what am I singing in the car right now and dreaming of doing. And yeah, in the past, I've done selections from Legally Blonde, the musical, Funny Girl, and then this is my third mixed cast. And so I'll be doing something from Sweeney Todd this time. You might notice a trend of songs that I like to pick.
Cool. And so how does the process work? Do you work on the song yourself? Are you working with, I don't know who your musicians are, but are you working with them? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's typically individual at first. We were working on our own. And then in the few weeks prior, getting together with our backup singers, our accompanist, our wider range of musicians for the group numbers, and then crunching it all together just in time.
Oh, I forgot that there were group numbers as well. So are there rehearsals for that? Like, do you guys have choreography and stuff?
A little bit, right?
We do have a little bit of choreography. I will be putting my very rudimentary dance skills to use for this one, alongside some people who can actually dance, fortunately. And we got together on Monday night for a first sort of whole group rehearsal, but people independently have been getting together in duets or small groups to work on their more ensemble pieces.
I see. And I know one person in the group taps. Is there some tap?
I wish there was some tap.
Not this
time? I
wish
I could say there was some tap.
Kelsey, where's the tap?
I'm going to request it next. I
believe we've requested it before.
We have.
But
I need to request it stronger. I need to get in there and make sure, because I have a pitch.
I've seen Kelsey do the tap, and it's awesome. Yeah. So I'm imagining there could be some sort of creative way to include that inside
the dance. We don't know that there's any tap.
Oh, right. Like, okay.
We could be open to a spontaneous tap.
There could be
routine.
A tap.
Who's to say? You'll have to come to find out.
If I pitch it on the air, maybe Kelsey will do it. Okay, here's my pitch. Putting on the Ritz from Young Frankenstein the musical and do a little tap number.
I would love to say I personally will learn to tap dance if we can ring in like $1,000 of donations on Saturday.
And I have to say, because I don't think you guys know, I've done tap for 10 years.
Yes,
so
that's true.
I just don't have any shoes.
That's so funny. Well, here we go. There's collaborations in the mix. And that's a good point. This is a fundraiser, which you're doing to help support the production of Dracula, which we'll have everybody coming back for that next week to talk about it with some of the cast and such like that, because that's going to be a wonderful fall production. And this is just two shows on Saturday, right? It's a one night. Mm-hmm. This is your shot, right?
Yes.
Has anybody done that song? The I'm not going to take my shot.
Not throwing
that?
Away my shot.
Hamilton. Skiba has talked about wanting to do it for quite some time, but it is literally a mouthful. It's so many
it's
words
a lot of
and
words.
A lot of timing and a lot of coordination. So I think that
we've had other Hamilton songs.
Yeah, we've had
before.
Some Hamilton selections. I think it would be such a fun number to bring out at some point, but definitely requires a lot of coordination and rehearsal time.
Or that song, that one. It would be really fun to see some of the gents do Burn, right? Like, that would be really fun to see. Like, because that has, I mean, I know it's hard. It's a hard song, but that would be really interesting to see if that could. That could happen. But it's mixed cast. It's this Saturday night, September 20th, 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. It's at Crystal Saloon. Do we get tickets in advance or do we just show up?
You can do either. We recommend in advance just in case it sells out, which it has in the past. So we just like to encourage people to plan ahead. But we always try to get people in at the door.
And where do we get the tickets at?
You can get it at junoghostlight.com.
Okay, JunoGhostlight.com is where you can find out more information about MixedCast, which is a fundraiser for this fall production of Dracula, and of course more information about Dracula, but we'll talk about that more next week.
Yes.
And Steve and Wendy, break a leg on Saturday. It sounds awesome. Thank you for sharing your stories. Wendy, I didn't ask you though, what song are you singing?
I am singing a song from my all-time favorite musical, The Music Man. I will leave a little bit of suspense to say you have to come to learn what number, but I do have some backup folks doing some book choreography is going to be my little hint, Stephen included.
Okay.
So that'll be fun. And then I'm popping in and singing some backup on some other people's numbers as well.
Awesome. It's MixedCast from Juno Ghostlight Theater. Find out more at JunoGhostlight.com. Thank you so much for coming in. Gunth Cheese for being here.
Thanks for having us, Boston.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Step into the savory moment. Nora Marks Dauenauer was a Tlingit writer and scholar from Hoonah, Alaska. At the age of 81, she received the National Book Award and at 85 began serving a two-year term as Alaska State Writer Laureate. Nora was also a recipe developer. Here are some paraphrased highlights from her poem, How to Make Good Baked Salmon from the River. Salmon is best made in fish camp over an alder fire, but you can also use an electric oven and a fry pan. Have seal or eulogan oil on hand. Wesson oil or butter may be substituted. When cleaning the fish, toss scraps to the seagulls and ravens. They're family after all. If cooking by fire, insert alder steaks through salmon flesh as if threading a needle through cloth. Then sit back and enjoy the sight of red meat and silvery skin. Listen to the grease crackle and smell it on the breeze. This is so important. Mash some berries, adding seal oil and water. Think how nice this dessert will taste after the salmon. If you don't have berries, open a can of fruit cocktail. Prepare a serving platter. Harvest a leaf of skunk cabbage, but first fold it into a cup and drink from the cool stream. If unavailable, substitute paper plates and cups and water from the faucet. After inhaling the scent of cooked salmon, skunk cabbage, and berries, drizzle fish with seal oil and watch it run over the now flaky flesh. To eat, start with the head, eyes, cheeks, nose, and jawbone, then the body. Suck the fins and nibble the crispy skin. Finally, the meat, oozing with juices. Take a sip of water and enjoy how much sweeter it tastes after the salmon. Now it's time to tell stories. If there are no stories, jokes and small talk will do. Serve with beer, tea, or coffee. Gunash Cheesh for coming to Nora's Barbecue. Find a link to Nora Marks Dauenauer's poem, How to Make Good Baked Salmon from the River, at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
This message brought to you by Search. From first breath through life's toughest moments, Search stands with you. Caring for Southeast Alaska isn't just a job, it's a purpose. When the unexpected happens, Search rises to the challenge. As parents, neighbors, volunteers, and caregivers, we push forward together. That's how a community becomes unstoppable. It's a mission proudly upheld by Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium.
When you give to KTOO, you help fund all of the content you expect from us every day. Essential information from NPR, local updates from our news team, community conversations on Juno Afternoon, and of course, music on KRNN and KXLL. You make KTOO possible. Make sure your membership is up to date at ktoo.org.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I am your host, Boston Christopher. As evidenced by the weather, it seems fall is here to stay, which also means that the storytelling events from Mudroom, 7 people, 7 personal stories, $7 at 7 p.m., and always for a good cause, is back. I welcome now Mudroom's board member Taylor Beard to the show to give us a preview of what we can expect this season, from themes and workshops to how to get involved and maybe even some smut.
Maybe a little bit of smut in there, yeah.
Good. Cheese for being here, Taylor. Wasiti, how are you today?
Pretty good.
Staying dry?
No. Okay. Not dry.
I once heard that somebody put in their email signature, and I've only done it a couple times, but I've always thought maybe I could do it as a sign-off for Juno Afternoon, but may your socks stay dry.
That sounds like an excellent signature. Because I feel like all of us have had that moment where we've had holes in our boots or whatever.
It's just like, oh, this day, and you forget, and you wear your Crocs one day, and then it rains, and you're like, oh, why did I wear my Crocs?
Yeah, I'm in Birkenstocks today. It was a very poor choice. So,
all right, so let's start with, because it's been a while, there may be new people in Juneau, what is Mudrooms?
So Mudrooms is very similar to, if you're aware of the Moth Story Hour, we are kind of very similar. We do stories on a theme, as Boston mentions, 7 storytellers, 7 minutes, $7 donation. And we do that with beneficiaries in mind. They are all local nonprofits. They get the money immediately. And so it goes to a good cause. And each time we have a theme, now we have themes, but we don't expect, you know, if you have a story that doesn't necessarily line up with the themes, we totally still want you to tell it. So,
So it's members of the community can sign up to be a storyteller. You don't have to have experience or anything like that. And we're going to talk about one reason way you can get more experience or learn a little bit better about it. But for people who want to sign up, is it mudrooms.org?
It is mudrooms.org.
Mudrooms.org is the website. And what's really cool on the website, I love mentioning this every year, but like there is a page there of archives of every single story that's ever been told at Mudrooms. I think, or I should say 99% of them probably. Mm-hmm. There might be a night or two that the recording got messed up or whatever.
Yeah, we definitely had that happen a couple of years ago.
And then they do get played later on KTOO as well. We play them like at the end of the month after. I mean, they are still going to be this season. Are they going to be the second Tuesday?
Yes, always the second Tuesday of the month.
Second Tuesday of the month, and you can count on that going forward, starting in October, right?
In October, yes.
In October, because this month you're going to have a workshop that can help people learn how to become a storyteller. Tell me a little bit about the workshop.
So the workshops are great to learn just the art of folklore and storytelling, and which is super important, not just for what we do, but just in everyday life, because storytelling is one of the best ways that you can connect with another person. So it's good for your personal life, for business. There's so many things that can benefit from learning how to tell a story well. And so in the workshop, we kind of go over the framework of how you tell a story, how you have presence, how you think about the details that you want to share, and, you know, kind of how you edit that story down to what's relevant to the story, because we only have 7 minutes to do it, so we still kind of do it around the framework of the storytelling events that we do. But, I mean, ideally a good time for a story is 10 minutes, but since we tell it on air, we only have so many minutes, so we have to edit it down. So we kind of go over all of those details and give people the confidence that it's going to be fine when you get up there. It's a great way to hone your craft, basically.
Absolutely. And it does seem like, you know, I think it initially people go, oh my gosh, 7 minutes. I can't talk for 7 minutes. But then you start telling us, do you think about those times you tell a story to a friend and like it goes on, right? It goes on and on. The details are there. But this storytelling workshop sort of helps you, because you're talking to a bunch of friends, right, in the room. And this is still happening
at Kunikiri Northern Lights.
Northern Lights Church every Tuesday, or second Tuesday of the month. So when is the workshop, though? Because the workshop's not the second Tuesday.
The workshop is actually coming up this Sunday. It's the Sunday the 21st from 3 to 5 at Kunikiri.
Okay.
And so you can sign up on our web page. Just on the main page, there's a link to sign up for both the workshop and for storytelling. So.
Okay. And that's where you go if you're interested in telling a story. And you can sign up for any of the months coming up, right? Okay, but you can also sign up for the workshop that's happening this Sunday from 3 to 5, you said.
This Sunday from 3 to 5.
And that's no cost.
That's no cost, no.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, we, folklore is, you know, a way to connect with other people. So we, all of us who are involved, genuinely enjoy it and really love what we do. So we don't see any reason to get payment, because if that's going to be prohibitive to somebody, it's like, no, we'll do it for free. So.
When did you first get involved with mudrooms? Did you tell a story?
I told a story, yeah, back in
2002,
sometime. I feel like everything blurs after the pandemic.
After a while.
Yeah, I told a story, and then I think I told a second story. And when I told one story, and then I told a second one the next year, and I found out that one of the board members was leaving and just asked if they needed anybody, and here I am.
And here you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be back to visit us throughout the year as well.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the themes. What's the theme for the first one coming up in October?
The theme for October 14th is creature comforts. So that can be all sorts of things. What we have as our kind of our tagline for it is, tell us a tale of making a cozy home or a weird roommate situation, finding comfort in the unexpected, or roughing it Alaska style. We want it all, big or small.
Mm.
So, but this, I mean, creature comfort could be anything. It could be stories connected to animals. It could be, just going off the top of my head, my husband had a squirrel in his attic when he was in college, and the just crazy tale of getting that squirrel out of the attic. Like, it could be any number of things involved. So
interesting.
If you have a story that you want to tell that you don't really feel meets this theme, please still come and tell it, because we're open to anything.
And are all the themes listed for the season up on the website?
Yes, they are. So our themes for December, we have That's Real Nice, Clark, which is kind of riffing on National Lampoon's Vacation.
Okay.
So that one is, you know, sharing stories of the holiday season, A Gift That Left More to Be Desired, to Unfortunate Travel Snafus, any number of things. February is Sweet Revenge. So I say sweet revenge, but really revenge is kind of in parentheses, because it can be a story that's sweet, or it could be about revenge. It can be any number of things.
Cool.
And then March is Doggone It, Rut-Row. So
What's up, Scooby? That's gonna be kind of fun. That'll be a fun one.
That would be a fun one. Yeah.
And then we mentioned a little tease of the popular event that happened last year, which was a play on mudrooms, which was called Smut Rooms. And you loved it so much that you're doing it again.
We are doing it again. It was extremely popular. I heard from so many people who attended the event, but I also heard from a number of people who tried to get into the event and couldn't. So it was extremely popular. So I think this year, we don't have exact details yet. Most likely going to happen in January. Very likely we are going to be selling tickets ahead of time so that we don't run into the situation that we had last year. So, we don't have a theme yet. But
it's coming.
It's coming, yeah.
Okay, and then quickly before we go, we'll talk about it more when you come back for October's Mudrooms event, but just list off who the beneficiaries will be this year.
This year we have the first beneficiary for the first two shows is Kaxtegawuhin Elementary School's PTO, and the second beneficiary is the Southeast Alaska Food Bank.
Awesome. Well, Taylor Beard from Mudrooms, thank you so much, Gunnar Cheese, for being here. We'll see you the Friday before the second Tuesday.
Yes, you will.
Sounds good. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Coming up next is Garden Talk, but first, the Tlingit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakwanish George Davis, and the word this week is heen.
Heen.
That means water. And here is a sentence. Get me a drink of water. Let's hear it again. Water. Gunesh Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan Ish, George Davis was Tukdain Tan and the child of a Tsagwedi man. He grew up in Kheer, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
My name is Tessa Hulls. I am an artist, writer, and adventurer who is very excited about putting on a sweater and having the rain come back and reading. I was very excited to be asked to make the KTOO member gift this year. I wanted to do something that responded to a sense of place, and for me, so much of Juneau is about the water, and there is so much life, so much presence to what's going on in the water, but we really only see the surface. I ended up settling an idea of a girl going out to a rock and putting recording equipment under the water, and the motif that forms is the KTOO logo of seaweeds that we find here in Juneau. Public media is really important to me because communities are webs of stories. Finding ways to maintain and share our stories is more important than it's ever been, and so I was really happy to be able to do something that felt like it was contributing. You can pick up a new thank you gift with the logo that I designed when you contribute at ktoo.org.
That's Tessa Hulls, Pulitzer Prize-winning graphic novelist who designed this year's design for KTOO's membership gifts. It is Membership Drive Week here at KTOO. You can find out more about those gifts and how you can donate and support all the services that you love here at KTOO. You can go to ktoo.org. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. This is Garden Talk coming up. Welcome to another episode of Garden Talk. I am joined by Darren Snyder from the UAF Cooperative Extension with a topic that seems extremely fitting, too much of a good thing, helping our gardens deal with all the rain, as today we are recording this during a severe windstorm and rain here in Juneau. Gunath Cheese, Shot Yigudi, thank you so much. Darren, it's a pleasure to see you again. Wasiati, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Gunashish, for having me.
Of course. We're experiencing heavy rain today. There was a power outage, but it's been raining for like, it feels like 4 months. It's only been a couple weeks maybe, but it feels like the 40 days and 40 nights. It's hammering us.
Yeah.
It's hammering us. So what is that doing to our gardens, especially as we're approaching the end of the season?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, even the non-gardeners can look out the window and see that the plants are suffering right now. And, this rain is more than they would prefer if they wanted to keep growing. It's not extremely unusual at this point in the season for those of us who have been here for a few falls that it starts coming in wet and sideways. Just all this rain, a lot of folks think about water is one of those essential things with life, you know. So our plants need water, but again, too much is too much. They're working hard out there, what we have is at this point in the season, many of the plants are for example, the potatoes. You know, our potatoes are in the ground. Many of us still have them in the ground, and with all this rain and not a whole lot of sunshine, they're absorbing water like a sponge, and they're gonna start potentially cracking. The same thing can happen to fruit if there were any cherries left on trees. This can just overwhelm them, and they can get overwhelmed with too much water.
So do we think about like getting the potatoes out a little bit earlier? Do we still have to wait, or what's the solution here?
Yeah, so for potatoes specifically, if you recall in the storage piece that I shared about that, it's a good idea to knock them down a little bit, even help out this wind a little bit, knock them down, and even trim off the tops if you want. You don't have to, but then cover them up with plastic. That's really a key, that will reduce the amount of a liquid that's all around them, and just let them kind of settle in a bit. This rain is really tough on all of our plants, the wind doesn't help. But as far as the rain goes, there are a lot of things that we can do. in future seasons as far as like how to kind of prepare for this type of at this point in the season and then throughout the season when because we generally get a lot of rain like you're talking about,
yeah.
You know, it hasn't been raining for all of these 40 days. Fortunately, we had a good amount of sunshine. We can recall back to some good heat.
I don't remember.
There's a lot of good sugars were being developed. The carrots were getting sweet, and some of that last growth of the season did help out many of our gardens.
Can I ask, is the rain harder on the things that are in the ground, or is it harder on the stuff that we're growing above the ground?
Well, the leaves are susceptible to all this wind, so that's one thing. But all the above ground, a lot of our, it depends on the plant, but if it's going to do well in Juneau, it's got to be able to handle a little bit of rain on its leaves. And so a lot of our greens do really well in a lot of rain, especially the brassicas, the cold crops, the kale and the broccoli in them. They can handle it. They're thicker, as well. Just the leafy greens, like lettuce and such, they all can handle it.
Sort of the hardy stuff that we already kind of grow here in Juneau. It's sort of made to be maybe in this environment a little bit.
But you also some people will notice that because there will be more rot that goes on if they haven't spaced their vegetables adequately. So, if you've noticed that the rain has been coming for a few days, and take a look at your garden, walk out there, and if you have plants touching each other, then maybe it's a good time for these annuals to go ahead and harvest a few of them between each other, just to make sure they have enough space. So they're not just sitting the leaves against each other, so that when there is a little bit of airflow between them, because diseases, viruses, and molds and fungi and bacteria can all transfer through that contact and flourish in a lack of movement of air that can occur, when it's too tight.
I see. And the idea you mentioned a little bit before, like there's things you can do right now, sort of cover things with plastic, kind of figure that out. But you're also talking a little bit about pre-planning for the future maybe, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So if you want to kind of build yourself a successful garden environment, you start with your garden bed with good drainage. And it's you can test it yourself. You can kind of pour water on if you're new to a space. You can pour water on it, or just observe it in the rain. See if there's pooling that's going on. But generally, we want to have soils that have a good portion of sand in them. And if not, then adding organic matter, preferably mature compost, is ideal. But if you have some other organic matter sources, like just some peat, it would be useful. And especially if you're going to be growing in pots, because pots are, if you imagine it, it's containing that amount of soil, and it can't just go to the side. It can't go downhill. It's trapped in there. It may have a few, it must have holes in the bottom,
right.
But it can't get out as fast as it can get in. And so it gets soaked, it's cold. In worst case scenarios, it gets anaerobic, and without that air, because our organisms in our soil need air to live, they breathe, and so they can actually die, or just the wrong organisms will thrive.
So drainage, making sure you have proper drainage. Is there other things?
Yeah, lots of things. One of the practices is we want to have a timed release of the nutrients into the soil, and that can be achieved through various methods. There are specifically fertilizers that are designed to be time release. But just good old-fashioned manures and compost, as the organisms eat that organic matter, then they excrete, and those nutrients are available for your plant. And that's an ongoing thing. And so having plenty of nutrient-rich compost, have manures and other organic matter that has a lot of nutrient available for it is a strategy.
Awesome. Okay. And is there more?
Yeah, so much more.
So, I know, and it's funny. Yeah. I was just going to say, I was exploring the UAF Cooperative Extension site in terms of the gardening section. Uh-huh. There are so many resources there, and I highly recommend that people go check that out. They're free. There's a lot of PDFs you can download, a lot of learning about various different aspects of what we are talking about here with Darren. So, yeah, other things we might be able to do for protecting from the rain, Darren.
Yeah, so just thinking about covering the surface of the soil there, you can cover it directly on the surface with, say, plastics, and there are special plastics called IRT, and they let the heat rays in, but don't let the water in, and don't let the photosynthetic active radiation to let the light in that's going to actually cause those plants to grow where it's covered. And so you can pop holes in that and have the plant that you want coming out of that hole, whereas the warmth is getting down into the soil, but not the light for growing the weeds and not the water for making your soil too wet.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah, it's called IRT plastic. And it's a plastic, so that's a give. You know, this plastic culture, it's a major give. If you want to be going without plastic covering on your soil, they do make products that are similar to like just a heavy paper. But you can use our locally famous seaweed for covering the soil. That helps to at least bring down nutrients along with this moisture, and just help out the plants in that regard. You can also do the hoops. You see them around town if you're not a gardener. You may have wondered what everybody's doing with these PVC pipes and other types of having hoops over their beds. Mm-hmm. You know, draping a solid piece of visqueen, clear plastic over that is one way of growing types of vegetables. You can also do that with polyspun fabric. People know the name Rime. Row covers, Agarbon, they're different brands of it, but essentially it lets some moisture in, but it sheds off a lot of the rain, and it lets the air flow through, which is different than if it's a piece of solid visqueen. If you're going to be growing like some of your summer squash, then you want to have a solid covering because they don't do well to have water on their leaves at all.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a good tip, yeah.
But then the other thing that is, of course, the high tunnels and greenhouses, and that's kind of the biggest and best way to control the environment, as in like have the plants
have a structure that you're growing inside.
Yeah, let's the light in, but then the plants, you know, they don't know they're in Juneau anymore, essentially.
Right.
And it increases productivity tremendously, but then it turns you into having to play God with everything else. You have to make sure that there's good airflow, make sure that it doesn't get too hot, and then you always have to be watering everything in there, or else it'll dry up and die.
I think it would be a really interesting episode to talk about greenhouses just in general as well in the future, to talk about that if you have the space to be able to have that. A lot of people don't have that space, but if you do, like what to think about when you're having a greenhouse. Darren Snyder from the UAF Cooperative Extension talking a little bit about too much of a good thing, helping our gardens deal with all the rain. Gwyneth Cheesh for being here again, Darren, for another episode of Garden Talk. I really appreciate it. Gwyneth Cheesh.
Thanks, Boston.
We'll do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Local stories, local voices, brought to you through your support and membership. Become a member today at ktoo.org. On tomorrow's show, Theater in the Rough previews Romeo and Juliet opening this week, plus a look at upcoming talks at the museum and the kickoff of Evening at Egan at UAS. Juneau Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you, never more important than now, and Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp and Lisa Purvis. Good cheese!